call the meeting to order. It's officially called to order, but known as quorum. Hopefully, the members will start showing up. We've got a lot of meetings trying to get done with the deadline coming up on this Friday. This Friday, there's lots of meetings going on around here, and people are running around trying
to get all their bills through and through first committee. But today we're going to hear House File 3911 with some Representative Beard. And I've read this one and I really like this bill. So it'll be interesting to hear the... Well, I shouldn't play my hand first, should I?
making my job easier.
Well, Representative Mahoney, I believe your name's on that.
So, hopefully we'll get a quorum and do the minutes and a variety of other things that we have to do later. But, Representative Beard, if you would present your bill, and then as we get some members here...
Not Representative Keaton's here. We're good to start now.
All right.
Well, Mr. Chairman and members, this is House File 3911. This is somewhat similar to, at least in theme, to a bill that we carried last year we had through the committee regarding nanotechnology. Did some of you go to the St. Cloud? I think everyone here went to the St. Cloud tour where we saw some pretty incredible equipment in dealing with the world of the very, very small, which relates to a lot of the very, very big things we do. And it enables chemists and physicists and so on to actually see what is happening. I mean, it's one thing to draw it out on paper and predict in a laboratory how things will react. It's quite another thing to actually get under an electron microscope and watch what's happening, which oftentimes sheds some light on problems and possibilities and inspires new thinking and new directions for some of the technology that we're famous for in this state and that we're trying to move forward. So this bill moves to put about $250,000, I think it is, Mr. Chairman, on line 1.6, so $250,000 through the Department of Deed to expand and strengthen nanotechnology and the whole nanotechnology experience for some of our emerging companies. I have two gentlemen here this morning that are going to speak a little bit about this bill, and quite a bit about this bill in greater detail. How it would impact our economic development and some of the things we're trying to do in biosciences and some of the initiatives we have moving forward in this committee. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to introduce first Mr. Darrell Gubrud, President of Minnesota Nano, to give a presentation, if we may, about nanotechnology and about why this bill would be a good idea.
Thank you, Representative Beard. If you could introduce yourself for the record and proceed. And welcome to the committee, by the way.
Thank you, Chairman Mahoney, and greetings and to the rest of the committee. And I've been here before, and it's nice to see you again. I'm Darrell Gubrud, and president of MinNano. And prior to that involvement, I've been a five-time CEO of information technology companies that have functioned in the manufacturing arena and the healthcare arena. The major initiative is an activity that MinNano has been working on for the last several months, and today's presentation is a call for the state's participation in this activity. Our outline today will first be to give you an overview of who we are and who the partners are in the major initiative and introduction to it. The partners have an intended funding that's underway right now of $100,000 to do an economic impact analysis for the major initiative that would indicate the job creation prospects for it. We're also here to discuss, obviously, the bill, the nature of and need for the funding of the design project. And we will also talk about how Minnesota compares and give you an overview of the initiative. MinNano was founded just a little over 2 years ago, and our tagline is what you see in the middle of the page, nanotechnology for our competitiveness. And we are private sector-led, public and private coalitions establish our standing as a region of excellence in nanoscience. These firms are the members of Nano, and many of them were the founding members. R&D executives from those organizations sit on our board of directors along with the dean of the Institute of Technology at the University of Minnesota. Our mission is to advocate for increased interest and investments in nano-related education, research, development, and commercialization, and to focus on key applications that build on our state's strengths in the areas that are mentioned. Several of them, you'll note, are bio or life science related. What is the major initiative? It's intended for the creation and retention of jobs in both the metro and greater Minnesota. It's focused on nanotechnology. It provides major incentives for collaborative research and development by industrial and academic organizations in Minnesota. The industrial and academic funding is intended to be matched generally one for one or 50-50 by the state of Minnesota. It's intended to increase the alignment of the academic research and the industrial research, and it's also intended to accelerate distinctive products that can be derived from nanotechnology to the market. There is an emphasis on later stage research and product development in this proposal. It also has a focus on companies making products based on either the life or bioscience or the physical sciences, such as electronics. And it's led by a major private and public partnership or collaboration. And lastly, it builds on existing industrial and academic strengths here in Minnesota. The partners or prospective partners in the major initiative, and the top group are those that have committed to funding and governance, Armin Nano, MinSCU, and the University of Minnesota. And the near-term prospects for funding and governance include Life Science Alley and the Minnesota High Tech Association. Non-voting partners in the major initiative are the Biobusiness Alliance of Minnesota, with whom we've had several meetings, and as well the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development. The role of the partners is governance, including their serving on the steering committee, overseeing the design or redesign of the Minnesota Center for Nanotechnology, and Dr. Campbell will describe that more fully, to provide political support and also to provide funding of economic impact analysis. They would also oversee the economic impact analysis done by a credible source. We are currently interviewing or screening vendors that would do this. To fund it, we're expecting $25,000 to $30,000 each from the science and technology organizations, $10,000 to $15,000 from the academic, and we have $50,000 of the $100K committed thus far. The timeline is to be included in the governor's budget for the 2009 and 10 session for up to $10 million per year. The critical activities for us are, of course, the May 19th adjournment of your legislature, June coordination with DEED, and by July 25th, I can't say that very well, around July 25th, we will be initiating meetings with the governor's staff to get this proposal included in his budget. And today's bill, we're requesting $250,000 from the state for the availability in the spring or summer of calendar 2008. The project would parallel or closely follow the economic impact analysis funded by the major initiative partners. And I want to be clear that the economic impact analysis is primarily about job creation, and the design of the initiative is a whole another kind of activity which you're about to be exposed to. The objectives include assure that the focus areas, meaning the categories, like nano, one of them, that the focus areas nanomedicine and bio-nano, to make sure that we're looking at the right focus areas, the right components to serve the focus areas and the programs, and that they're well designed for academic and industrial collaboration, as well as job creation and retention. Assure effective design of the governance of the Minnesota Center for Nanotechnology, and Dr. Campbell will talk more about that. Also in the design project, to interface with the economic impact analysis so the two are consistent with each other. Visit or become aware of what's happening in other states and incorporate those best practices into the design of the major initiative. Importantly, to educate the executive and legislative branches of government and selected other parties on both the technology and the economic benefits of nanotechnology, and develop a preliminary implementation plan and timetable. So this is an invitation to the state. The initiative cannot be successful without strong state participation, and to get the major initiative to this point, dozens of participants from many sectors and organizations have volunteered, as it said, hundreds of hours to create this proposal. I think you've seen this. Dale Wallstrom from the Bio Business Alliance has used this to show what some of the components are of the life science community. And you'll note down here where my arrow is, to the right of enabling knowledge clusters, that nanotech and material science are listed as a major enabling knowledge cluster. And because of that, we've spent a lot of time with the Biobusiness Alliance and also with the Life Science Alley in terms of having common goals on this major initiative. The competitive landscape. There are nanotechnology centers, 112 in 28 states. There are economic development units related to nanotechnology, 32 units in 19 states. Our own efforts are being currently outpaced by others, but it's still early in the game. This is a map that illustrates roughly 25 or so of initiatives that are around the country. Ohio's third frontier is the most comprehensive science and technology initiative that we've identified. They launched it in 2002 with $1.6 billion in funding, or $160 million per year. It covers multiple industry sectors and sciences. There are 15 major programs, and the nanotechnology portion of it is roughly 25% in recent periods. If Minnesota were to invest on a per capita basis equivalent to Ohio, we would be investing about $75 million per annum. If you look down at the line where the arrow is, we're presently investing, fortunately, about $15 million per year in the current Mayo and University partnership, and about $5 million per year in IRIE. Thus, we believe that a total of $75 million for Minnesota to invest is at scale with what we're investing already at $20 million. We're proposing that in nanotechnology that we invest an additional $20 million per year, incorporate the BioBusiness Alliance designs, and also that the state undertake other strategic science and technology investments for an additional $35 million in areas such as biomedicine, food science, and others that the state would see as important. At this point, I'd like to turn the subject over to Steve Campbell.
Mr. Chairman, our second testifier is Dr. Stephen Campbell from the... It's on our agenda. Electrical and Computer Engineer Director for the Center of Non-Structured Applications from the University of Minnesota.
Well, before you start, sir, if we could have the author of the bill move the bill, seeing how we have a quorum, and then we'll do the minutes, and then we'll proceed.
Mr. Chairman, where would we like it to go from here?
I believe it needs to go to Finance.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to move House File 3911, move its acceptance, and move it to Finance.
Thank you.
Recommended to pass and move to Finance.
Thank you. And members, I'm sure Representative Norton has read the minutes and found them all to be in order and will move the minutes.
So moved.
All those in favor of the minutes, say support by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. And it's been passed. Sir, thank you for coming today. And please identify yourself and proceed.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you very much for allowing me to testify before you today. My name is Steve Campbell, and as the representative mentioned, I'm a professor in the Institute of Technology. I direct two centers at the university, and perhaps most importantly, I hail from the east side of St. Paul. I'm very proud to be a native. I'm here to talk to you today about some of our activities, some of our planned activities in nanotechnology, specifically about two activities. One is the SBIR, SBIR Matching Initiative, and the other is a proposed Minnesota Center for Nanotechnology. The SBIR Match is a program that has been adopted by a number of states around the country, and it provides additional matching funds for companies, particularly small companies, that have successfully presented proposals to the federal government for development of new technologies that would support their business. These states have found that providing these matching funds greatly increases not only the rate at which companies submit these proposals, but also the success rate in going from a phase one to a phase two and ultimately presenting products to the marketplace. Ohio in particular has shown quite remarkable success for this kind of an approach. The other area that we are interested in supporting is the Minnesota Center for Nanotechnology. We believe that MCN will be the coordinating unit for growth that will foster initiatives that will be geographically dispersed throughout Minnesota. Program goals target key needs. We have gone through a process of identifying the intersection of where Minnesota has technology strengths in the private sector, and where those strengths intersect with research capabilities and interests at the university, and finally where those intersections can take us in the marketplace if everybody works together. That brings us to our second item.
Before you move on, if I might ask just one question.
Certainly.
You see, in the last slide you had 10 states are matching SBIR dollars. I'm pretty sure most of the members on the committee understand that the SBIR money is initial startup money and met from the federal government for commercialization of new technologies. Do you have an idea what that would cost? If you don't, you can certainly get it to me.
We propose in the new biennium that roughly $2 million is the amount, and there's a PowerPoint that details that further on.
Mm-hmm. Well, then I'm going to move on.
Please.
I mentioned that we have identified intersection areas. We have identified three of these intersection areas that we think are have great potential for MCN. Impacts heavily on our medical device community here in Minnesota, as well as healthcare in general, and this is bio-nanotechnology and nanomedicine. The other impacts on some of our physical science applications, Seagate, Honeywell, Medtronic, and a host of small companies that are interested in sensors and devices. And this is our nanosensors and devices. And the third is manufacturing and occupational health. And this concerns what happens at a nanoscale when you try to make things and also health aspects of nanotechnology. In some cases, companies are doing nanotechnology and don't recognize it. And there are health implications for that because of the large surface area associated with nanomaterials. So this is to ensure that we have best practices and safe manufacturing operations. We believe that MCN should be a nonprofit organization, state-funded. We're looking at board members from Life Science Alley, Minnesota High Tech, and MinNano, also from MinSCU and the University and the Mayo Clinic, as well as members from BioBusiness Alliance and, of course, DEED. I'm not going to go through the remainder of this, but this gives you an idea of what we want to do for the structure. To come up with these research areas and identify what kinds of things would be helpful, the committee met with representatives from both the private sector and public sector and looked basically at how jobs are created in technology, both from the academic sector, how ideas are created and ultimately pushed through, and the private sector, how products are created. And I'm not going to take you through this analysis, but the basic idea is, where do things fall off the table? How can we take this engine, make it run faster, and how can we slow down the leakage in the engine? And we've looked at best practices from other states that are funding work in this area and adopted many of those and tried to modify them to the Minnesota unique environment. MCN then, as a result of this analysis, incorporates 9 programs. As Daryl mentioned, most of them require a one-to-one match. This is, would bring a $13 million match to state funding, ultimate state funding of $9 million. And all these would be competitive peer-reviewed applications. I list these on the slide here. The ones in blue have to do with moving technology from basic ideas and into commercialization, into the private sector. I'll talk about a couple examples of these. I don't have time to go through all of them, unfortunately, but I'll talk about a couple of examples. The green ones have to do with ensuring the workforce is there to support nanotechnology as it moves into the private sector. Part of these are scholarships for students and ability to move researchers between the private sector and public sector. And part of it is ensuring that small companies that perhaps don't know that they have a role to play in this find out how this technology can impact their company. We think MinSCU has a big role to play there, particularly as it impacts greater Minnesota. And finally, accessing the equipment. Unfortunately, the equipment for this technology is expensive. Small companies have a hard time raising the capital to do this work. This is two initiatives that would help them access that equipment, do the initial product development, and get their product in the marketplace. I'm just going to talk, I think, about two of them. One is research commercialization. This is something that's been very successful elsewhere, and it identifies technology sectors where there's a strong overlap in a specific area between private and research communities. For example, implantable drug delivery is an area where Medtronic is very interested. There are a number of researchers at the university that are interested. You have to have some way to bring these people together to identify these joint ideas and try to do joint development. And this is an idea that we would competitively bid these things, determine where the best fit is and where is the best potential to create new jobs for the state. I mentioned this one already, accelerated nanotechnology for small to medium manufacturing technology. This is a sector-by-sector study of how nano impacts different technology sectors and how this emerging technology can impact small companies' businesses to ensure that they know what's coming up and are have the capabilities to capitalize on the new advances. I'll just conclude both of our presentations. Nanotechnology is becoming the key enabling technology for many industry sectors. If you go to private companies, major companies in Minnesota, they'll tell you the same story. Lead of 3M will tell you nano is the most important technology that they see within 3M. Medtronic will tell you it's one of the top two. Honeywell will tell you the same story. You go over and over. This is a technology that enables dramatic new products to be developed and from that new job. Minnesota is lagging in other states in developing plans for this, but the good news is the tide is now moving from research into commercialization, and we're in a very good position to jump on that tide as it goes into new products and new jobs. Minnesota Nano and its partners have begun developing this on a volunteer basis, but ultimately we see that to be successful, the state has to be a strong participant. And so we're asking for a modest investment now to be able to ensure that the plans that we make reflect the best interests of the state.
Well, Mr. Chairman and members, we're happy to answer questions. That completes our presentation by Dr. Campbell and Daryl Gubrud. I think just a quick overview is we're looking for this committee to recommend through this bill that money be appropriated to DEED for the enabling design project. Minnesota Nano Technology Consortium has the, I think, a pretty strong plan moving forward on what we need to be as a state and as an industry for making nanotechnology services and education a core part of what our entrepreneurial companies are doing. We're asking the state through DEED for $250,000 to help finish the design project of how that would work. So we've got some governance issues we need to flesh out and run through committees here. And I think having MNSCU, Department of Economic Development involved, is going to be a key component to keeping the thing homogenized and coordinated so that we're moving in the same direction instead of cloistering ourselves in very competitive small islands and then hoping for the best results to come out of that. That's why we're in front of this committee this morning. Questions? We're happy to entertain.
President Norton?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, I'm very excited about this particular project, and I signed on as a co-author, which I want to say before I ask my question. And just also mention that UMR, University of Minnesota Rochester, I know a lot of people aren't as familiar with that term as we are down in Rochester, is one of their main focuses for their future academic endeavors is going to be nanotechnology. So I think it fits in line with where the University of Minnesota is thinking of going with some kind of forward-thinking college preparation. Having said that, I'm going to play devil's advocate for just a minute. We've heard from venture capitalists. We've heard from, we've had meetings. Some of us here came down to Rochester and talked to local business people. And one of the things that we hear is that why is the state getting involved with forcing growth in particular areas? And particularly in light of the map showing that many areas, particularly kind of on the periphery of the country, are already going in the direction of nanotechnology, can you help me answer those concerns that people have for why the state is poking their nose in the business world in this manner? And I have my own answers, but I just thought it'd be nice to hear from you.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask for definition of the question, areas as in geographical areas like Rochester because we like you so much, or areas technological areas of expertise like biosciences and nanotechnology?
Yes, sir. I probably overlapped those two issues. Just bragging about the new university before I moved on to the other issue. Sorry about that. Specifically, why is the state investing in biobusinesses? Why is the state trying to push the market in a direction of nanotechnology?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Norton, and members of the committee, I'll make one comment on that, and then Steve may have some that he would add. I think the world has changed dramatically in the last 10 to 30 years, where other states and other countries not only saw, as we did, the wisdom investing in E-12 and higher ed, but they saw that there were emerging sciences and technologies that represented strengths in those geographic areas, or potential strengths if they but invested. India, as an example, investing in information technology and the tremendous outsourcing of jobs to that country from this and other places would be an example of a country. And so the competitive landscape has changed. Other states, other countries are picking areas where they have strength, both in the academic sector and in the industrial sector, and are saying we can retain and create jobs by this means. Some venture capitalists, and I've dealt with them, you know, will have their noses out of joint saying that this is invading their turf. And I love them, and they're great people, but they are not the organizations that are going to that have the public interest and the matter of job creation and retention as strongly of front of mind as elected officials, as community leaders, as others who are concerned about the quality of life and economic well-being. My comment.
Can I give you another answer? I have one, and you know, as I look at your and Representative Burns' beard, I mean, I would suspect that Dr. Sullivan or Dr. Gumburn is going to have to answer this. In the investment estimate for creation of nanotech jobs, you've got $10 million in nanotechnology equipment fund. Are you talking about a $10 million lab or multiple locations, like maybe another $2 million at the U, another $1 million at St. Paul Tech College, and, you know, a variety of labs or miniature labs around the state? Could you just elaborate on what you're looking at there?
Mr. Chairman, for the rest of us, which slide are you looking at? On the lower right-hand corner is a tiny little number. Can you see it?
32. Not without my reading glasses. I think the nano can help out there.
Those are nano numbers, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, let me clarify that particular budget item. I operate a laboratory at the university where much of this work is done, and I know a great deal about how expensive this equipment is. We provide access to this equipment to companies. Roughly a third of our income comes from companies using the equipment. And so we have close to 100 users from outside the university that make use of this equipment because it's available to them. They don't have to make the capital investment. At the same time, we recognize that geographic access to the equipment is extremely important. And so what we are proposing to do there is to invest not only at university laboratories, but Minsky laboratories and other university non-Twin City campus sites, where companies in greater Minnesota will have local access to some of this equipment, create a network of experts that would support users, companies from around the state, so technical expertise can be provided. Some of the more expensive pieces of equipment may have to reside at a single flagship location, but provide distributed access for everybody within the state.
Are there other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is just a statement. I just want on record that I strongly support this and have a special interest in it because actually Daryl Gruber and I grew up in the same hometown.
you much later than me. I'm going to ask that we take just a minute here to recognize the high school pages of the week here on my right behind us, and I'd like you to stand up and take a little bow there. We know you guys, we put you through a lot here in a week, so we appreciate that. We hope you learn a lot here, and in the future you take our spot seats at these chairs.
The way it's going to be.
The way it's been going this week, I'm about ready to give it up now. And on my left over here, we have, I believe it's Champlin Park students, and again, hopefully in the future, not too near, you take some of these seats and enjoy the pleasure of the give and take at the Capitol and some of the other things that happen. But it is fun, and it's nice to have you here to kind of see how this all works. This is a technology committee, so it's a little drier than some of the others. We don't get into the fights that I've seen in other, the arguments and the discussion and the heatedness of other committees. Here we try to actually look for the science-based jobs of tomorrow that you kids, and I'll call you kids, are going to fill, because you have a very bright future in front of you, because all of us old people are going to retire and you guys are going to support us. So welcome today. We appreciate you coming here today. And are there other questions? I will say, I think, Representative Mason.
Thank you. I am originally from Ohio, and I happened to visit Cleveland last month. And Cleveland and Cuyahoga County, in my opinion, and what I've been told, has been, they've had a lot of, financially, they are not doing well at all. So when I'm looking at the amounts of money Ohio is pouring into this, I'm just totally amazed. So my question is, knowing that, you know, they certainly have two major areas in Ohio. One is where Cleveland, the other is Columbus, so they've got a lot of resources in there. But still, they're putting a lot of money into that, and I'm trying to figure out where is their money coming from, and how are, you know, what is, do you have an idea of why they're doing that when I know that Cleveland is so depressed? So is their focus to try to, that's my thought is, you know, they're trying to get into this because they need to be doing something. And is that kind of what you're expecting us to do? Do you understand my question?
I think so.
Okay.
Representative Masson, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'll make a comment on that, and that is I think that a great portion of that funding, from what I understand, in Ohio has been directed toward the eastern part of Ohio, including Cleveland. And there are major funds that have been directed toward the life sciences capabilities that are in that Cleveland area at Case Western and the Cleveland Clinic. And in some respects, I think Ohio should have begun 10 years ago, maybe 15, to do what they began doing just in 2002, because the handwriting was on the wall about the changing nature of the employment that was in that part in that part of the country. I don't have any statistics that would say what portion of it's going to Columbus, and they have, I think, at least six or seven research universities in Ohio. So their design is more complex and more difficult, but they surely have done what to many of us is an impressive job of trying to stimulate. In terms of the sources of funding, and we've not spent a lot of time looking at that, I understand they've done some bonding, they've used some tobacco money, and some general fund money.
Okay. Representative Thiessen?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So just so I understand this, the nano piece of this is not actually to, well, maybe correct me, but it's not to create nano companies, but it's to create the basis that other companies can use to develop their business, or am I getting that wrong?
Representative Thiessen, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the programs, the nine, are heavily grant-based. Emerging or small companies would be eligible for those matching grants. They would also particularly be beneficiaries of things like the Nanotechnology Development Fund, where there's matching monies for instrumentation time. They would also benefit from the accelerated nanotechnology. So there are multiple elements of the program that's now designed that would tend to benefit startups or emerging or smaller companies.
Mr. Chair, I guess my question, though, is it is it that the company would be a nano company, or is it more research to support the, like, you know, you have the biosciences, the little chart that we take, and nano's kind of on that bottom column, and then the industries are kind of up above. And so I guess my question is, I'm just trying to, and maybe it's not even a intelligent question, but is it to, are we looking to create profit-making companies that patent nanotechnology, or are we looking to create the research base so companies in agriculture and all these other things have access to that technology to develop different products?
Both.
Okay.
Can I just interject? Would it, if I kind of rephrase your question?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is this initiative to create the 10, 20, 30 person company that develops a disruptive technology and then sells it to, or licenses it to, Honeywell, Seagate, I'm trying to think of some of the names of the instrumentation companies that we have in the state, and I'm blanking on them. I know we have a good number of them, but is it, we're trying to create companies that license disruptive technologies to larger companies?
Chairman, the answer to that is yes, but Honeywell itself or Medtronic itself would be eligible for certain of these matching grant programs, and Steve Campbell gave an example of drug delivery, where there could be a great match between the University of Minnesota and Medtronic. So it's not, I would say, tilted necessarily toward just exclusively small companies that are under $50 million in sales, nor is it targeted at $2 billion companies. It's across the spectrum. Whatever company, large or small, might be able to create distinguished products and employment as a result would be a candidate to use some of the matching fund programs and related programs that the initiative proposes.
Mr. Sullivan, do you have anything to add to that?
If I could, Mr. Chairman, please. Members of the committee, one of the things that's unusual about this technology, when I know that your committee has dealt, for example, with biotechnology quite a bit, is that nanotechnology is an enabling technology that cuts across many different areas. So Daryl mentioned drug delivery. It isn't the pharmaceutics, it isn't the drug that we're doing, but it's how you get the drug only to where you want it so that you don't have the systemic side effects that you would have if you do an intravenous injection. That's very consistent. It's going to change how a very broad spectrum of companies do their business, and so it will impact small companies and large companies.
And I want to apologize, Dr. Campbell, for calling you Dr. Sullivan.
No. I take that as a compliment.
That's Irish, you know. We're getting closer to St. Patrick's Day.
So can I follow up?
You certainly can.
Thank you. Okay. And so I guess it is a little bit of both, but I think it's really this research piece.
Yes.
And so I guess two questions I would have, and I'll put them both out there. First of all, presumably this technology, if it's the base technology, can travel across states and international boundaries. So why, the one thing I didn't hear from the presentation is why Minnesota, why we have an advantage here, why we couldn't import some of this technology if we have the other industries from somewhere else. And the related question, I guess, is why we would choose to give the grant money in this area as opposed to having it more general for all of these enabling knowledge clusters and see what the best proposal would be. And I know there's a separate issue for kind of the research piece of it at the university, but aside from that, people have...
Mr. Chairman, if we can just take a pass at Representative Thiessen's question before we turn it to the expert here. If you look at slide number 19, the little arrows on top and so on, We're dealing with enabling knowledge clusters as one of the foundations that many different kinds of businesses spring from, many different kinds that venture capitalists are going to be really interested in. The reason this $250,000 is focused on nanotechnology materials is because I'm the author of the bill and these people are the Nanotechnology Society, and so we're not really looking at genomics or excuse me, any of the other core knowledge disciplines this morning. They have their own trade associations and so on that do that as well. This is focused only on nanotechnology and making that technology available to a whole host of companies that would be represented by all the arrows and triangles above that, whether they're doing bioremediation or some new super septic system organism, or whether they're trying to find a coating that sticks to plastic, or drugs that only are attracted to liver cells. It doesn't make any difference, and I'm grasping for poor examples here. The nanotechnology component that we're trying to put together with this bill this morning, get that roadmap going, deals with a host of disciplines and a host of different potentially commercializable ideas that are out there. So in the end of the day, this is what this is about. We want a Minnesota company to be formed that takes any one of a number of possibilities and runs with them and makes a profitable business. They have employees, they buy homes, they send their kids to school, pay taxes, make life better for everybody. And I'll have some more comments on that in my closing remarks. But that is why we're specifically focusing just on this one cluster of knowledge on that line on slide 19 we're looking at. Now, because I waxed so eloquent on that, Representative Thiessen, I forgot the first part of your question, if you can remind me.
Well,
why Minnesota?
Why Minnesota, and why do we think an invest? I mean, because we have limited, all those things are right, but we have limited resources, Mr. Chair, sorry.
Okay.
We have limited resources, and so why would we choose nano over genomics, as an example? That would be those kind of two questions, and they're interrelated, obviously.
Mr. Chair, they really are. We're limiting ourselves to the nano discussion this morning with this $250,000 grant request because that's the purpose of the bill, is to enable that activity. We've talked about all the other ones, and they've come here too, and we're certainly not denigrating them. We're cheering for them as well. We're just asking that nanotechnology and its related technologies be seeded with this design grant that helps put together the things we talked about, the governance issues, who's on it, how we spread around the nanotechnology that's already in the state. You know, like, again, I'll reference the St. Cloud trip. We saw some pretty incredible technology actually in play kind of upon there, because I think the technician on duty that night, a college kid, was actually playing with it just to impress us with how really powerful the stuff is. So that's why. And this is Minnesota tax dollars. We're trying to see over the horizon. I think we've heard the governor, like him or lump him, I think he does have the gift of being able to see a little bit down the road. And one of the things he's talked about is we're not going to be the cheapest screw turners, nor do we want to be. We don't want to race to the bottom on common labor issues. We want to see where the next wave of economic development is, because we want kids in white lab coats looking through really cool microscopes at things that are commercializable, if I can say that, that actually people will pay money for. And that grows the Minnesota economy. And I think we have some unique talents in this state, and some cultural proclivities that lead us more towards higher education. We're very fond of that, and I think we're probably a cut above average when it comes to investment there, and for kids and young folks who want to move on and make something special in these areas of their lives. We have that as a cultural strength here. Some of the other things that we can play to that lend themselves to, I don't think it's an accident that Cray Research grew up here, or that Control Data was formed here. I don't think it's an accident that Honeywell was formed here, or take your pick, or anyone, Medtronic, St. Jude. It just kind of springs out of who we are as Minnesotans, and the infrastructure down the line on the foundational capabilities, policy, education, and things like that. I'd put culture in there somewhere, too, if I was drawing this chart. But we're Minnesotans. We just do these things, and we just have an unspoken expectation that we're going to do things that are kind of cutting edge and don't involve sooty smokestacks or stuff like that. Not that there's anything wrong with those, but we're different. We do these things. Am I getting to the gist of why I'm carrying the bill and what's in it for Minnesota and why we're focused on Minnesota?
I always look at it as it might figure out a way to get something out of our drinking water.
What exactly? Mr. Chairman, I can tell you a little story about radioactive remediation. You know, we used to spend hundreds of millions of dollars digging up stuff out of the ground where there had been a radioactive spill, and then we had to find a special roaster to burn the dirt and all kinds of other stuff. You know, there's a cool little company, I think they're out of New Jersey, that through this kind of technology has found a microbe that actually eats radioactive isotopes and renders them completely neutral. And for a few hundred thousand dollars, they can remediate a low-level radioactive spill that normally would have cost $20-30 million in guys in pressurized suits and all kinds of stuff.
Not that there's anything wrong with guys in pressurized suits.
Touché, Mr. Chairman. Okay, Mr. Chairman, I'll yield to the witness.
Yeah, I think we're gonna wrap it up here in a minute. Yeah,
so. Representative Thiessen, Chairman Mahoney, a comment, and that is, and you may not have heard this, Representative Thiessen, but we spent a lot of time with Dale Walson and other people at the Biobusiness Alliance on this initiative, and to integrate our design work. And the Biobusiness Alliance strongly believes that nanotechnology and material sciences is one of the high priority, top two technologies that are very important to the life science community. And I can tell you that the physical science community also places high priorities. And you have to make your bets where you got strength as a geographic area. And we happen to have strength, 100 faculty at the University of Minnesota. 5 to 10 faculty at the Mayo Clinic that are involved in nanotechnology, and dozens of companies that are using nanotechnology. It's a sweet spot for this area, and we need to hit it, and hit it hard in terms of retention and job growth.
And that's the answer I wanted to hear.
And I will warn the committee that if you go over to the university for their and ask for a tour on the nanotechnology, it's hard to get out of there.
Yeah.
They just don't, you know, it's like, oh my God, they won't let you go. So, some closing remarks from the author, and then I think we're going to vote to pass this along. If we're going to take a vote on this, so.
Mr. Chairman, yeah, just a couple of closing comments. This small talk really is the next big thing when it comes to Minnesota business. We're looking over the horizon. We're looking at what we can do to take advantage of our sweet spot. We can't, some people know where it is, and we're asking the committee to kind of, I guess, help put a bat in the hands of the nanotechnology community to help get a solid base hit, if not off the wall, I suppose. Minnesota Nano is a not-for-profit organization, and their goal is to establish Minnesota, which is why we're here. We're elected to look out for the best interests of the state. As a standing, an outstanding region for nanotechnology and nanosciences. This is not only an achievable goal, but one that could very well make the biggest difference. I don't know who wrote this, but that's a pun, I think, in what our state's economy looks like just 10, 15, 20 years down the road. That's what we're about here. We don't grapple with issues that have an immediate difference today or tomorrow, but we're looking at, and I think that's why these few members are on this committee, we're interested in looking at things that are down the road that are going to play out very handsomely for our kids, our grandkids, Chairman Mahoney, when we retire, for these kids who will be paying the freight for us. And thank you very much, by the way.
We want them to have a lot of money so they can pay the freight.
I'd like that. Just speaking personally, Mr. Chairman, I know we had the venture capitalists in here. We've had some really great committee presentations talking about how we fund these things and where we want to go. Unfortunately, I missed that because I have this respiratory flu that's been going around that I noticed that Autumn has shared, the Chairman has shared, and Dr. Campbell here this morning. So one of the things I'd like to see on the first project basis is that we find a cure for the common cold, which will require a very strong microscope to see those pesky little things, and we'll find something to kill them. So we won't miss the many committee meetings. But Mr. Chairman, I'd encourage support for the bill and look forward to presenting it in the Finance Committee.
Thank you, Representative Beard. All those in favor, the motion is to recommend to pass and refer to the Committee on Finance. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. No. No no's. So, pass. Boy, I blew that one. It's a good thing that members, that this is probably our last committee meeting, other than we are going to have an informational hearing sometime in early April. We're trying for the 14th or the 17th of April. dealing with the new technologies, the new safety technologies, and nuclear power. I'm sure it's going to be a really lighthearted, enjoyable, non-controversial, because we're trying to focus on some of the new technologies, not whether it's a good technology or bad technology. So I want to thank our help, page, and I want to thank our staff. They've been excellent. They have done a lot of digging over the summer and support work here. I really do appreciate it. You've made this a pleasant committee, and the members have made this a very pleasant committee, a reprieve from some of the other committees that we get to sit on, in on. So with that, unless there's other business in front of the committee, committee is adjourned, and we'll hopefully see you in April.